Would you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to read verses 11 through 16. I want to talk to you today about steadfast faith in the Word. A steadfast faith in the Word. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 16. Beginning to read. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, and it is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we just pray that you would unfold your word to us today. Lord, that you'd put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all that you be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we see that in verse 14, it says, the word is very near you, it is in your mouth, and in your heart, so you may obey it. So, the first place we got to get the word, if it's going to be in our mouth, it's in our heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks, according to the word of God, right? So, we're also exhorted in the word of God elsewhere to study to show ourselves approved. Right? So, the bottom line is, we're called to devour God's Word so it works in us. See, God's Word works when we work the Word. Alright? I remember 42 years ago when I gave my life to Christ, immediately I thank God to this day that He put a hunger for the Word of God in my heart. Because I just started devouring the Word of God. I read the whole Bible through the first year I was saved, twice. And that's not counting the time that I spent studying it, you know, which goes beyond just reading it, okay? People at work, they thought I was nuts. I went from lunch hour, going out and drinking a quart of beer and smoking two joints, to sitting down and eating a sandwich and reading the Word of God at my lunch hour. You should have heard all the whispers. Alright? I was feeding on God's Word instead of putting all the other junk in my system that was dragging me down. The Word of God builds you up. Okay? So God gave us His Word out of His great love for us. And we're to get it in our hearts and in our mouths so that we will obey it. Okay? So, Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. So we see this repeated in the letter to the Romans. The word of God, first of all, is very near us, not a long ways away. You know, Jesus is the living word, right? Capital W, Jesus is the living word. Well, so when we're talking about the rhema word of God, We're not just talking about that. I believe in this passage it's talking about Jesus, the living Word. He's not far away either. He is right here. You understand, no matter how far we wander away from Jesus, when we turn around, when we repent, which means change direction, when we turn around, He's right there. He's not far off. I'm thankful for that. I remember, again, 42 years ago, when I met Jesus, I turned an about face, and He was there. He was right there, waiting for me, as screwed up as I was. He was right there. You see, while we were yet sinners, the Word of God tells us, He died for us. Not after we cleaned ourselves up. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. That's the God we're here to worship. What an awesome God we have. The Word of God is in our mouths so that we can proclaim it. Don't let the devil tell you just because you don't have a master's of divinity that you can't effectively share the Word of God with people. The enemy, he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. And he tries to get people to keep their mouths shut. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and in a walk with Him, when you open your mouth and the Word of God comes out of it, things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. We need to understand the importance of hiding the Word of God in our hearts so that we may obey it. How many times when we've got the Word hidden in our hearts and we go to do something that violates God's commands and you get this, and then the Word comes in your heart that applies to that. Somebody know what I'm talking about? You have that happen? That's called conviction, not condemnation. Conviction. Conviction is good because conviction helps us clean up our lives. There is now no condemnation, according to Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? So, we need to come to the place where we have steadfast faith in the Word. Okay? I want to look at Mark 4, verses 35 through 40 with you. And this one, Jesus calms the storm in this passage. I want to look at this because I want to show you how important it is that we hang on every word that we get from God. Mark 4, 35 through 40. Beginning to read in verse 35. That day, when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" All right, so why would I read this when we're talking about steadfast faith in the Word? Well, here it is. Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." Period. Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." He did not say, "Let's get in the boat, go out in the middle and drown." Did He say that? He did not say that. So when they got in the boat, following Him, no matter what happens when the storms come, you stand on what Jesus spoke. Are you with me? Because he said, let's get in the boat and let's go over to the other side. Period. Doesn't matter what happens between here and the other side, because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. I'm hoping you're getting this. Because we've got to pay attention to what God speaks to us and hang on to it, no matter what. Because the storms are going to come in our lives. The disciples said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Well, Jesus was sleeping in the hull of the boat. Why? Because he knew they were going to the other side. He knew they weren't going to be swamped. He knew the boat wasn't going to sink. He knows everything from the beginning to the end and everything in between. So he's down there sleeping. Now, I'm not picking on the disciples, because if it were you and me, we probably would have done the same thing. But there's something to learn here. Jesus, it appears by the language used, was a little disgusted with them. He was a little disgusted. In a righteous manner, of course. Not like you and me would be. And Jesus said to the storm, quiet! Be still! And the waters calmed right now. And then he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? There's the key. They didn't listen closely. They didn't pay attention intently to what he said. So they didn't have faith in what he said. And when we don't have faith in what Jesus said, fear is going to come in and try to take us over. Faith always overcomes fear because faith is the opposite of fear. Am I making sense to somebody this morning? So, Jesus gave them a lesson at that point, and we get to benefit from it. We get to learn from this lesson what God's Word say. What did Jesus speak to me? What did God speak to me right here in my heart? I got to hang on to that. No matter what comes, no matter what storms come in my life, no matter anything, what does God speak? I'm hanging on to that like a dog on a bone. Next major point. Jesus walks on the water. Matthew 14, verses 25 through 31. Matthew 14, 25 through 31. All right, here we go. Beginning to read in verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? In verse 26, the disciples said, "It's a ghost," and cried out in fear. They didn't recognize Jesus out walking on the water. Pretty sure they didn't expect to see him walking on the water. So they just discerned it. It had to be a spiritual thing. It had to be a ghost. Again, not going to pick on them. We might have done the same thing. But again, there's a lesson here to be learned. Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus' response is, "Come." And Peter, you got to admire this guy. It says he climbed down out of the boat. You got to understand, this fishing boat was not a flat bottom. It was a ways down to the water. When he bailed out, he had to drop down to the level of the water. Are you with me? And he didn't climb out on the water. Now, I just said he did, but let me explain why I'm saying this. He climbed out on four letters. C-O-M-E. That was what he climbed out on. Jesus said, "Come." Again, what Jesus say? What's the word? Come. Jesus did not say to him, "Come out here and drown." He said, "Come," and that was it. Period. Just like the last example we looked at. Period. Come. So, alley-oop. He's over the side. He's out of water. Can you imagine the other disciples? "Look at old Peter. Hey, he's doing it. He's doing it. He's walking on the water. He's walking out there toward Jesus." And then, he saw the waves. Isn't that just like us? We launch out in faith. By golly, we muster up all the faith we got and we launch out. "I'm going to obey God. I know I got a word from the Lord." And then we get out there and we see the waves, whatever they are, and fear comes in. It's the way the enemy works. He uses fear to keep us from the best things of God. We need to be wise to this. We need a steadfast faith in the Word. What did God speak? What did God speak to me? Well, so Peter, his faith gets challenged. He sees the waves. And you just know that he was then convinced that he was going to drown. Just like the last example. So he cries out, "Lord, save me!" Hopefully we all do that at some point. Because we all need it, whether you know it or not. "Lord, save me!" And I like this. Immediately. He didn't wait until Peter was under the water and drank a few gallons of water. Immediately, when he cried out, "Save me," Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And then he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that Jesus said, "Come." He did not say, "Come out here with me and drown." Jesus says, "Why did you doubt?" Jesus would say to us, he'd whisper in our hearts, when we have those times and we shrink back from our faith. If you listen closely, you'll hear that whisper. It's a loving whisper. "Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" So let's think about the significance of those two miracles. First, we learn that we must meditate constantly on what Jesus has spoken to us and believe it. Believe it, believe it, believe it. Two things I can guarantee you. When you are right in the center of God's will and acting on what you have heard from Him, the enemy is going to come and try to talk you out of it. Okay? He's going to give you all kinds of excuses. Okay? Second, people that you would never expect to will try to talk you out of it. Even people you go to church with. I'm telling you. People you would not think would try to talk you out of it will try to talk you out of it. Man, when I quit my job 5 months after I got saved and bought a business and went into business for myself, God had spoken to me and I was just stepping out. I stepped out on four letters, come. So I understand this. I quit my job, went into business, had a lot of people that said, don't do it. Had a lot of people that, after I did it, said, you're not going to make it. Well, there were hard years, but we made it. We made it. And then, ironically, the very same people, in quite a few instances, that told me I was crazy when I quit the job I had and went into business for myself. After I'd done that for 16 years and built the business up and had a good business. I had a huge clientele. Then God spoke to me and said, I'm done with that. Close it up, walk away. I want you in ministry full time. Okay. My wife was a little nervous. But she was with me. Okay? She was. She just asked me, Wayne, are you sure you heard this from God? Can you imagine? I said, yes. I'm as sure as I'm standing here. She said, okay. Okay. Out of the boat. Out on the water. Okay, we're launching into ministry. Can you give me a clue, Lord? Well, then those very same people were the ones that came to me and said, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're crazy. You give up your business. Well, wait a minute. You told me I couldn't do that. You're the same person that told me I couldn't do that. Now you're telling me I'm crazy because I'm walking away from that and following God into ministry. Well, you'll never make it. You know, it's been 25 years. I think we're making it. Hadn't been easy. Been through some hard times. Been through some times where it felt like the waves were encroaching on us. Isn't that right, honey? But you keep your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith, and you keep on going. Keep your eyes on Him. And have steadfast faith in His Word. See, I believe God put this Word on my heart to springboard us into the new year. Second, we learn that we must truly believe in Jesus and keep our eyes on Him no matter what from these passages. Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is with you wherever he leads you. As long as you have your eyes on him and you are following after him, he's got you. He goes before you, and his glory is your rear guard. That's what the Word of God tells us. Are you guys getting this? You're ready for anything in this year to come, right? We're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in the power of his might. Be strong and courageous. I echo that to you today. Be strong and courageous in this year to come. Keep your eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, no matter what happens. I just have a sense in me that this coming year is going to be very unique. Could be some pretty tough stuff. I'm telling you that after most of us have had a tough year this year. But see, the key is, we're here. God has brought us through another year. And he's going to bring us through again. See, he's going to return one day for his bride. But he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And right now, there's a whole lot of rotten spots in the bride. Somebody know what I'm talking about? So we're going to go through a time of purification. He's preparing his bride. I didn't hear one single, oh yay! It's quiet as a church mouse in here. God's got this.
Amen.
He said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For your God will be with you wherever you go. God is leading us. He's got this. Be encouraged. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged. The enemy has been using the tool of discouragement against humanity ever since the garden. Don't let him do it. All right. Now, last Sunday, we had a tongue and interpretation. Dick Anderson has a pocket recorder. When that happens, he starts that recorder, he records the message, and then he types it up verbatim. So we always have a record of the words that come in that way, or words of knowledge, however it comes. We have a record of that. We keep a file of them and track that. I want to read for you verbatim the word from last week. Listen very carefully, please. My people, I would remind you today that all things have a beginning and all things have an end. And I would have you to know today I have turned a page and there are new things that are coming. I will be glorified, for I am your God and you are my people. I am calling forth people out of darkness and into light in a fresh way, and a new way I am pouring out my spirit. My people, as you worship me today in this place of worship, I would remind you to be ready, for I have work for you to do in the days to come. For I am pouring out a fresh move of my spirit, and I will draw people to myself, and I need you to disciple these people as they come to me. I would have you to be my vessel. So today I remind you, you are my people, I am your God. And as we labor together, we speed the day of my return. What I see in that, I could preach a whole message on that, not going to. I wanted to read that for the benefit of those of you who are here that weren't here last week, but also as a reminder to us. You know, we miss things when we hear it the first time. We pick up more of it when we hear it the second time. So, but let me tell you something. What this says to me is this coming year, there is going to be a fresh wave of God's Spirit that is going to sweep people into the kingdom. And the true body of Christ needs to be ready to assimilate and disciple these new believers that he's going to bring into his kingdom. So my friends, get ready. We've got work to do. Our God said so. And you know what? There is no greater joy than knowing you are in the center of God's will and him using you to further his kingdom. And then the final part of it, people being swept into the kingdom and being discipled speeds his return. Because he's not coming back till the last one. The last one comes into the kingdom. He's not going to come back until the last one. So when we're laboring in the kingdom, we're speeding up that return. How many of you'd like to see his return speed up very good? The crazier the world gets, we more and more feel that way, don't we? Okay, so steadfast faith in the Word. I've prayed over this. I completely believe this Word is truly from the Lord. I stand on it. I stake my reputation on it, that this Word is from the Lord. I actually think, ever since 2010, God has been giving me a word for the year. Okay? For those of you who've been around here for quite a while, you know. Every year, he gives me a word for the year. I think it's possible, I'm not sure, that I'm going to get another word. This might have well come through tongue and interpretation this year, and that this might be the word for the year that we got. So, we'll see. Maybe he's going to give me more to it. Maybe there's going to be more to it. I don't know. I'm praying about that. I'm praying whether there's anything else, but irregardless, if this is the word for the year, this is something we can build on. Amen? Amen? Father, I thank you for a praying body of believers. Lord, as many things have been raised to you, Lord, we just unite our hearts and we purpose to be obedient to you. Even greater so in this coming year, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for granting us this word that came through tongue and interpretation, which according to your word is equal to prophecy. And Lord, may we not only hear it, but may we throughout this year act on it and beyond it until your return, Lord. Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that we are forever changed because, Lord, we have encountered you. And that, Lord, you'll bring us back safely next weekend, which will be in the new year, with fresh fervor, with an excitement for what you're going to do in this coming year, and, Lord, with a passion to serve you with all our might, with our hearts, Lord God, with all that we are. Now as we go, Lord, watch over us. Grant us health. Grant us rest.
And grant us the ability to hear and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.